leafing through the newspaper here, and the bad news about the economy just doesn't stop. Home prices fell more in January. Consumer confidence fell to a five-year low. Yikes. It's times like these I just want to go back to my rented apartment and curl up by the space heater with a big bowl of comfort food. But here's a question. Can comfort food be too comforting? We sent Fair Game's Matt Pack to find out.
Macaroni and cheese, possibly America's favorite comfort food, and certainly its cheesiest, is on the rise. Food consumption researcher Harry Balzer.
About a third of the population is now having macaroni and cheese on a regular basis. And if it's a child, it's 50% are having it on a regular basis. Now, this is on top of population gains.
We've gone macaroni and cheese crazy. And in fact, this isn't the first time our nation has gone down this slippery, cheesy slope. I spoke with nutritional anthropologist Deb Duchon about the history of mac and cheese.
1937. The first commercial macaroni and cheese was introduced.
That's right. It first became commercially successful during the Great Depression. When else?
And it was a very popular food, especially during the Middle Ages.
The dark and dreary Middle Ages. I'm starting to notice a pattern here.
It fell out of favor during the Renaissance.
Aha! Macaroni and cheese blossoms when the economy is down. When times are good, not so much. Could macaroni and cheese be a harbinger of economic doom? I asked Gabe Riley of netnutritionist.com what happens to people's productivity levels when they consume foods like cheesy pasta.
Well, when they eat a large serving of fat and carbohydrate, they basically feel full because of the fat. And because of the carbohydrate, they may feel a little bit more relaxed or calm or sedated and even sleepy.
Macaroni and cheese, America's most seditious food. With every bite of macaroni and cheese you take, Americans lose thousands of jobs to overseas. Macaroni and cheese is killing our economy. Someone had to stop Americans from eating their way out of house and home. There was only one place to fight this battle. New York City restaurant, Sarita's Mac and Cheese, or SMAC.
It's pretty easy. It's simple. It's just mac and cheese. We've got 12 different kinds on the menu.
That's Sarita, owner of SMAC. If I could stop her customers from eating her many varieties of delicious mac and cheese, it would be a turning point in this economic war. But it wouldn't be easy.
We didn't realize how popular and how much people loved mac and cheese out there. And it's from every age range. You're talking like 1-2-year-olds to 100-year-olds. It's great.
But some of America's most productive workers are between the ages of 2 and 100. We are screwed. Our only hope was for me to appeal directly to the people. I asked SMAC customers how it felt to be destroying our economy.
It's really, 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 really good.
Every time I come back to New York, I'm coming right to SMAC. I saw it on Oprah, so I wanted to come. So that's why I came.
Oprah? I can't compete with Oprah? All right, one last hope. What if I gave them a healthy, economy-saving alternative? Would they choose the right path if I offered Americans a choice between macaroni and cheese and delicious steamed broccoli? What's it going to be, America?
Macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese. I mean, like, what kid wants to have their vegetables, right?
The kind that wants to have a job, of course. This wasn't working at all.
Oh, man, I could take this home and just lay back on a chair and watch some TV, you know?
That's it. I give up. This mac and cheese epidemic is more than I can stop on my own. And it's only spreading.
We will start with New York and then work our way outwards.
Good luck, America. We're going to hell in a handbasket. A big, cheesy, delicious handbasket.
Thank you, Matt. That was such a delicious, gloomy story. Honestly, I don't think I've had mac and cheese for 20 years, at least. I wonder if that makes me a very good American. I don't know.